Nick and JP back on Afternoon Drive. The Cavs-Celtics conversation rolls along with Brian Scalabrine coming up in 40 minutes. We do have Albert Breer, as normal, on Tuesdays at 5:20 as well. I know we're going to get a lot of NFL with him. We'll also get into the Cavs-Celtics as he is in the Boston area media as well. But I really like the way Danny put that because, you know, I think if you're the Cavs, you feel like you've done enough the last 2 years to establish yourself as one of the best teams in the East.
Mm-hmm.
And even if this is fleeting, even if in the end, the way you truly, truly, truly set yourself up as a championship contender is you go at some point face the Boston Celtics in the playoffs and at some point look like a credible threat in May, this is the kind of win. And when you add to the winning streak, when you add to the cup part of this, I think this is the kind of win that if you're the Cavs, you can tell yourself.
Yeah.
No matter if they say it, you can tell yourself you're a real contender.
That's why the Warriors win was so big. Like, yeah. This feels, it's bigger than the Warriors game, obviously, but at the time, the Warriors game, it felt massive. And the Warriors, by the way, beat Boston already this year. Like, if you just stack on some good wins, I hate to be the person that goes back to the schedule, but, like, how many times have we talked about the schedule not being the toughest thing we've ever seen? And how about the fact that in the previous five games, Nick, the Cavs have had only a two-point lead in each of those games. Every one of those have come down to 2 points. We've talked about the fact that not only the schedule being easier, but then the fact that they've played so many games is almost disadvantageous to them. And there's so many different factors attached to all this. You can find the pros and the cons. It's incredible.
Well, and what's interesting about this game is once you get through this game, and I can't remember you playing Wednesday night. Once you get through that, there's actually a stretch of about 10 games where you're going to get a lot more rest. You're going to be able to rest up and catch up with the rest of the NBA.
Yeah.
So if you get through the next two games undefeated at 17-0, you're going to have some time to rest and recuperate in a way that we can start to sell that streak.
I like that you count it. Yeah, I like that you're already at 17-0.
Yeah,
and
damn right.
I'm sure you've highlighted the 2-3 stretch where you take on Boston and then Denver, and it's like you can legitimately start to talk about some of these things, and not in like a jokey way, like a serious way if you get past tonight.
So I kind of think, though, that's what's interesting about this. Like, to me, this is the game that can confirm the first 15 games.
Yeah, well, and confirm that they're different than last year, I think, is the thing that I want to see more than anything, right? Like, they got a raw deal of it last year. They did. Entering any series where you don't have Jared Allen for the entire series, and then Donovan is injured, and then not playing in the final two, that's not a real reflection of this team.
So,
and not to mention that Darius was going through so many things as well.
216-474-0092. Is a Cavs win tonight enough for you to call them a Cavs? Enough for you to call the Cavs a title contender? I'm probably not there, but I love what it signifies. If the Cavs come out and play the way that they did against Golden State, where they just take the first half
and then boots to them,
and they are able to get the win in the end, because if you have a great first half and they collapse, it's not great. But if you're able to show that this matters, like that. I think that's a good thing for the Cavs. And I think it's good. Like, I think this is a good spot to be in. And I want to point that out because, you know, I've already accosted Jeff Phelps once today.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the whole final segment of this show, they were building up this game, and then they're making predictions, and Jeff goes, I think the Celtics are going to win.
Do we do your eraser phrases for him the second time we talk about him, or no?
Yeah. I mean, he's one of Cleveland sports dads.
Because I like this.
He's
nice things about Jeff Phelps,
one of the most genuinely good-hearted, kind people that I know in media, which is such a rarity.
Pretty good golfer back
in
the day, too.
Pretty good golfer, wonderful father, responsible member of the Medina area. I can't remember exactly where he lives. I've never been there. It'd be nice.
Owns a lot of classic cars.
But this video, so we're going to play audio of a video that we put up on 92.3 The Fan on our Twitter account. And got to be honest with you, I got to go a couple rounds with my guy right here, Jeff Phelps.
Just what does tonight exactly mean? Here's what I think we're going to get.
I think we can overblow one game, and I don't want to do that. If you go to Boston and get a win, it'd be a really nice win. But what more do you have to prove other than you're 15-0? I mean, you're not proving anything to anybody tonight.
I disagree on one aspect of this. And it may not, I mean, it may hold true or
and
may not hold true.
15 straight, man.
Yeah.
That's really good. I mean, if you lose tonight, oh, they're not for real. Oh, heck yeah, they're for real.
Look, if they could win in Boston tonight, and it seems to be a difficult challenge for the Celtics. I'm not saying this is going to happen, but you could set the tone for the rest of the season with Boston just going, okay, are we going to be able to get over this hump? Are we going to be able to get over the Cavalier hump? Are we going to be able to beat them? Why is this team so much better? Because if I'm Boston, I'm kind of walking into this game going, yeah, they're 15-0. We know what they look like last year. Come on, this is the same team. It's just a different coach.
So, I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No, I disagree with that.
I'm sure
the Cavs have already established themselves as,
I'm sure,
hey, you gotta deal with us.
Is it just me, or is my guy Jeff Phelps lowering his expectations tonight because he doesn't want to be disappointed?
I don't know. It didn't sound like he was trying to protect his feelings there. I genuinely think he just believes Cavs have shown me all I need to see.
I mean, I think most people in the NBA, if you gave them like the strength of schedule for the first 15 games for the Cavs and said, what matters more? One game against the Celtics or 15 games against these other dudes? In terms of your perception, I think people take the Celtics game.
On that, the Cavs have played the league's easiest schedule as far as cumulative opponent winning percentage at 395. 10 of their 15 games have come against teams no better than the 5-8 Hornets. 12 of the 15 have come against teams that rank in the bottom half of the league defensively, Nick.
So that's not good.
Well, it's not great.
Yeah.
It's not ideal. That's why all the people buying the Darius Garland stock, it's like, all right, he's looked very good, but a really bad defense he's played against. If I were to ask you which would matter more, the one game tonight against Boston or the previous 15, because I think that's what you were getting at, which would you take?
I mean, the 15 matters more in the win-loss column, but when it comes to your perception of a team, yeah, it's this game.
Yeah, that's why we talk about the Warriors bump. Like, that was a real thing that the Cavs experienced, a big-time bump from beating a team that a lot of people are taking very seriously. And with the Celtics, there's a little bit more to this, right? Because they're so mystified. They're so – not only are they currently breaking basketball with shooting more three-point attempts than any team has ever shot, like, they're making what the Golden State Warriors with Klay and Steph feel like child's play with how deep they're taking the three-point shot. But it genuinely feels like this team is in the beginning portion of a dynasty. If the Cavs can beat them and show that we can go mano-a-mano, it does give some hope. It does. Even if it's a regular season game, it does give some hope.
And here's the other thing with Jeff. He asked a couple times in there, what more do you have to prove?
You got a lot to prove.
I think the best thing about an 82-game season and a max 28-game regular season or postseason, you're always having to prove something.
Yeah, and remember, Nick, though, this is not – everyone thinks about the Cavs as if this is LeBron's Cavs, and they've been there, done that, and got the T-shirt. This team hasn't done that. Like, this team is in the – we're in a very early stage of watching this team learn how to crawl, to walk, to run. And beating the unequivocal best team in the NBA in the Celtics, even if it's a November game, that matters in getting to the crawl, to walk stage of watching this team graduate. Another part of this, Atkinson – it's a big game for Atkinson and a big moment as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think Kenny Atkinson is a better coach than Joe Mazzulla. I think Joe Mazzulla is gifted with an all-time perfect roster to have the success that they've had. And I'm not buying into the Celtics dynasty. But even that, like the Celtics, I do think right now are not, we have nothing to prove. That's the worst way to win a back-to-back NBA title. The second you think you've proven something to anyone.
That's why Shaughnessy earlier today was like, I'd like to see the Cavs slap the Celtics around. It would tell them that they're beatable. And I had a buddy of mine, Brian Barrett, who does radio in Boston. And I remember talking to him when the Cavs and the Celtics were going on. And he uttered something similar. He's like, sometimes with this Celtics team, they need to touch the stove and get reminded that it's hot. Like, sometimes they're the type of team that they sleepwalk at times, and sometimes they think they are so great and so set up so perfect that they do in big moments, not necessarily big moments, but in moments that they should just roll through teams, it becomes a little bit harder.
Well, and I think from the Cavs side of things, like, I think that's another thing of what tonight represents. Again, it doesn't have to be that you think definitively if they win tonight, they're going to win the NBA championship or that they're capable of it. Because that question gets answered 17 times in the regular season, and it gets answered 100 times in the postseason.
Right.
And it's why that when people just discredit the regular season, they're in some way talking out their ass. There is an importance to the regular season beyond just it sets you up for the postseason. And games like this are part of that. Like the Cavs, I don't want the Cavs to tell me that they feel like they have nothing left to prove until they win a championship. I really don't. And even then,
stay hungry.
I think you have to. And so this is an opportunity of, if you've gotten fat off the hog over these last 15 games, and if maybe you have been playing down to your competition against the Nets and the Bulls because your numbers don't look quite as good as they were the first nine games of the season, this is a great opportunity to reset the conversation and then launch yourself into the next conversation, which is, all right, how serious, you know, 8 games from 24-0, what does that look like? And, oh, by the way, even when the winning streak ends, I think you do. I think the Cup is an interesting spot to prove yourself.
For sure.
And that's all before we get to January. Like, this is the best thing. Like, you could not have set this up better for the Cavs from Kenny Atkinson coming in and immediately changing things to making the beginning part of the regular season interesting again, mm-hmm. to leading up to this game, which would then put you second all time for the best streak to start the season. Oh, by the way, it's a Cup game. Like, the Cavs are interesting in November, and I think this is a continuation of that. Can you prove that those first 15 games are who you really are? And I think they can. Yeah. I don't know they will. But
the sad part, so I tried going nitty-gritty basketball with Danny there, and I brought a lot of Evan Mobley stats to the table, and I'm talking about the Porzingis not being there and what the inside effect is. And Danny, he didn't throw cold water on it. He was just being real about it. He was like, yeah, when it comes to Boston, watch what they do on the outside. It's like, can you stop them defensively on the outside, Nick? And sometimes with Boston, the sad part is that the Cavs might play a perfect game tonight, and they shoot 51 threes, and if they shoot enough of them and have a high percentage in them, there's just no way you beat that team.
Well, and here's the other thing. Isaac being a game-time decision.
Game-time decision, yeah.
Is a concern.
Dean Wade being out matters a big-time deal on that.
Well, certainly, because he's somebody you throw out there on the wing. Even Karras, I know we don't think of it as a defensive stopper. Karras being out there is another body you can throw out there on the perimeter. 216-474-0092. Don, Cool Ray, Jeff, we want to hear you guys in the next segment here. But I'm a little salty at my guy, Jeff Phelps, Cleveland sports dad, good man to boot. he says the Cavs don't have anything more to prove, that tonight's just a game in November. Is it Cavs win tonight? Does that tell you that maybe you think the Cavs are a title contender? More on that in the downside of measuring stick games next on 92.3 The Fan. He admitted that he does see it as that. Do you like him saying that? Do you like him owning that heading into the game?
Yeah, because if not, we'd be like, why are you lying to us?
Yeah, I actually will say, because I know messaging, some people like to say messaging doesn't matter. I love that Kenny has had like higher expectations for his team.
Mm-hmm.
Even when we thought he was lying about like the third quarters, where he's like, yeah, it's the next hump for us.
And it seemed like he was. The data tells us that he basically was.
And the reality was they had taken a step back play overall, but it was like one bad third quarter.
Which, by the way, then because of that, then like I got a tweet and you were tagged in it as well about the third quarter play and how like despondent the – I'm not going to pull it up. But anyway, I looked in between the break then to get like the where we stand now with third quarter numbers.
Uh-huh.
They're the second best third quarter team on the road in the NBA this year.
Yep, all because Kenny Atkinson said it a week ago.
We play on the road in the Garden tonight. Like, let's get this thing going. Here's what I love, Nick, though, and you can tell me if you agree or don't agree. I think this is intentional by Atkinson for one reason and one reason alone. He knows this Cavs team, and the lights being too bright is a thing that got him a couple years ago. So the more he can magnify this game, the more he can tell them how like this game matters. You got to see where you stand with the best of the best. You got to be able to deliver that punch. The more pressure you can put on them now and get them through that is only a good thing moving forward.
I don't think it's just now. I think it's every opportunity that you can amplify this. And like that Milwaukee game from, what was that, game 7 or game 8 when they won? Where that first Milwaukee game, Giannis was playing hard, Dame was playing hard, they had 70-plus combined points. It felt like a playoff game.
Anytime you can do it.
Like, if you could do that once a week, that would give you a massive advantage of teams that just aren't built like that in the regular season. And again, over time, what happens in the NBA is you have to escalate moment. It needs to matter more each time. But this is as much as the 16th game of the season can possibly matter. And that's a good thing, whether the Cavs win or not.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not saying the Cavs are in a no-lose situation. You can literally lose the game. But if it's the end of the streak, 15-0 is still an insane streak. Then it just becomes, how did it look?
Right. And I just don't see, and right now all the betting markets have them somewhere between 4.5 and 5.5 point underdogs. So Vegas is clearly respecting the team that just won the NBA title, as they should. I don't see the Cavs just getting punched in the mouth tonight, though.
Yeah, no. And I think that's, I think the most impressive thing is, even when they've trailed early in games, I've never walked away feeling like I did a fair amount of times last year, and a fair amount of times 2 years ago, which is when you got hit in the face, it took you a minute to recalibrate.
Or like when we watched the Browns games, where it's like one punch in the face,
yeah,
you're just done. Yeah. You just crumble and you're done. You got no chance.
You just have a glass jaw.
Basically.
But I mean, I think I won't be disappointed if they don't.
The Tyson now. Ooh.
Oof. I won't be disappointed if they don't pass the measuring stick tonight, because there will be other opportunities. At the same point, I'll be pretty excited if they do.
It'd be sweet. It'd be very sweet if they just came out and looked everything that we want them to look like.
I mean, it would just, one, because it keeps the streak going and the people love the streak.
Some people love the streak.
Two, everybody but you.
What's the afternoon? What's the morning show? What's their poll right now? How's it look?
Oh, yeah. Win over Boston or a streak? Which would you rather have?
Can we update it?
Guys, what would you rather have? Win the NBA championship or win the Eastern Conference Finals? It's the same accomplishment, basically. All right? Like, they're both awesome. You want both of them. Come on now. It's a weak-ass poll from the morning boys.
Don't worry. We have audio in the 620 segment that'll back it up a little bit.
We also have Brian Scalabrine coming up in just about 15 minutes here. But 216-474-0092. If you agree with Kenny Atkinson that this is a measuring stick game, are you going to be disappointed if they don't pass the measuring stick? I won't, because I think this is the second measuring stick game of the year, the first one being Golden State.
Yeah, and you pass that with flying colors.
And basically, by the end of the season, if there are 10 measuring stick moments, you're hoping you're in the NBA. 6 out of 10, 7 out of 10 is basically an A.
Right, but I don't want to get confused either, though, Nick. I'm not just happy that they're in this spot. Like, I need them to. I really do think Boston is going to look at this and say, we're tired of the Cavs being the number one in all the ESPN power rankings, the NBA.com power ranking that I checked earlier today. We're tired of being in the East, winning a title, and then within a month, all of a sudden, we're looked at, because of Porzingis injury and because we've lost a whopping 3 games, we're looked at as a lesser team than the Cavs. If I was Boston, I would be livid. And I know they don't care about power rankings and stuff like that, but perception does matter in this equation. And if I'm Boston, I'm the only worry I have is that they're going to really try to send a message tonight. And when Tatum and Brown try to send a message in the previous year and change, they've been able to do so.
Yeah, I also think that'd be a good sign if you saw that and the Cavs stood up to it.
For sure. Like, I mean, you're gonna get their best effort. There's no denying that.
That I don't know about. I still don't know how much the Celtics are really going to be up for this game.
I think they'll be up for different reasons than people think they will. I think they'll be up for the fact that I think Brown and Tatum need to send a message to the Cavs, and I think they're well aware of that.
I don't
think they're going to be up because they want to, like, you know, crash and stop the streak or anything like that.
Yeah, I don't know that Brown and Tatum are listening. I think everybody still smells like champagne. I think, like, the love bubble on that 2016 championship lasted half a year. I don't remember any concerns. Every time they played a game, they lost to a team that was the other team's measuring stick. I remember being like, "Yeah, well, they care, we don't."
Like, I mean, that's a dangerous spot. If you're Boston, that's a bad spot to be in.
Well, yeah, because there's a cup implication. Maybe Boston doesn't care about that. I mean, it's
tough. I don't know that they care about the cup.
It's tough to get up for the cup, and maybe that's what happened in the Hawks' loss. It's tough to get up for the cup.
Up for the cup.
When you just won the actual NBA title.
Oh, yeah, I don't think they care about the NBA cup.
No.
I think it'd be about sending the Cavs a message.
Because
the Cavs are the NBA darling right now.
I think the Celtics right now are the personification of, wake me up I don't want to say June.
So they're
but
everything
wake me
we
up.
Hate about the NBA right now.
Yeah, yeah.
They just personify
natural.
Everything we despise.
I mean,
regular season doesn't matter till January.
This core spent
that's debatable.
This core spent 6 or 7 years building to last year. So if you spend 6 years building to something and it finally pays off, there is a natural "I don't give a you know what" process that happens, especially in sports, but especially in the NBA, where, I mean, these dudes are half-assed in the regular season even before they're coming off a championship.
But the NBA is built in so many different dynasties. Like, you have your run with Jordan and the three-peats, obviously, twice. You have your run with the Lakers. You have your, like, most teams aren't what you saw with the 08 Celtics, where it was like that was one and that was done.
Yeah, I think
most NBA teams.
This is a new era of NBA.
But now we've had six different titles in the previous six years, right?
And
we're starting to see more of what you're alluding to, the idea that you win one and then you kind of pass it off to somebody else. If I'm Tatum and Brown and I look back on this and I'm like what Jokic was 2 years ago, where Jokic won once and now Denver's. They basically slapped him in the face with what they've done in that roster construction around him. Like if I'm Tatum and Brown, that's not what I signed up for.
Yeah, I don't think they're thinking that far ahead. So again, that's the other angle to this of, man, if they're not taking this game seriously, should we even be more incentivized to win? Because if they give us a B-minus effort and they beat us, that's not going to be a great look either. Don in Cleveland, welcome to the show.
How's it going today, guys?
Doing very well. Hey, what you got for us?
As a measuring stick, I think it's getting a little overblown based upon the roster update of who might not play today. If we're going to be missing Wade, LeVert, and Okoro, they're a significant part of our bench, and we're 10-11 deep.
They're missing Porzingis. So they're missing more than we are in that regard.
I totally disagree. Those three players are more important to us than Porzingis is to them, and they proved that last year in the playoffs. However, it's a measuring stick, but if those three guys don't play, then it's kind of like, then as fans and the team, you could say, well, we have an excuse. We didn't have our full team.
Don, wait one second. Are you going to give the Cavs the old
Peter Lynn pass?
It sounds like it.
If we lose tonight, I absolutely will. I'll totally give him a pass. If we win tonight, it matters whether we have those guys or not.
Here's
why it matters, though. I'm going to a different point about the streak.
Oh,
it matters because you're 16-0, and I'm looking at the streak as these are free wins. We all agree going into this, we are probably a 50-win team, right?
At least.
Which means you're probably starting off somewhere in that 9-6, 10-5, 11-4 range is what you would expect, kind of. Well, we're ahead of the sticks right now. We are so far ahead of the sticks that you have to change the expectations of what the win total is for the season.
All right, Don, we appreciate you, buddy. Thank you very much. I think pretty much everybody that covers the NBA would say Kristaps Porzingis is more important to Boston than Dean Wade, Isaac Okoro, and Caris LeVert are to the Cavs, but to each their own.
But that convo is going to come up. Like, people are, if they lose tomorrow, that. We will have phone calls.
And we have to shout it down.
We will. I don't know that everyone will. We will.
I'm now calling. Should we put this out to the whole station? This is a very important thing. Jeff and Andy, not just Jeff and Andy, but also, of course, Ken and Anthony, whoever's at night, let's just remember, if they lose tonight, it's not because three role players weren't out there on the court.
We'll find out what Scalabrini thinks. He's going to join us at 5 o'clock here today. So we'll get Scalabrini, Scalpal, the White Mamba's call on that one.
216-474-0092. So Brian Scalabrini was at 440. We'll have him at 5 tonight because he's got a TV hit. Because the man's a big man. He's like 6'8".
Did we find out where the TV hit was? Does
on
that
TV?
Matter? Well, I mean, is it local TV or is it national TV? Are we getting bumped for Nesson, which is his market, which matters? Or are we getting bumped for, I'm not going to name a city now. I don't want to insult people, but who exactly are we getting bumped for?
So if we get bumped for Nesson, is that like us losing because and saying we lost because Isaac Okoro, Caris LeVert, and Dean Wade were out in this game?
No Scalabrini pass for this one.
Scalabrini coming up at 5 here. Cool Ray stick there, 216-474-0092. Will you be disappointed if the Cavs do not pass the measuring stick game with Boston tonight? That's more on that next on 92.3 The Fan. More on Cavs Celtics coming up in 20 minutes. We then have Albert, a little bit on Cavs Celtics tonight as well, as he's a Boston guy. The 5 at 5 at 6 tonight because of the Scalabrini adjust there. Can I just get you to agree, though? And you're not going to. I don't know why I'm leading into it this way.
You already know my thoughts on this.
The NBA, the special courts for the NBA Cup, it's one step too far.
Why?
Because I think you think it's about...
I'm not going to say that I love them or anything like that. I'm not advocating for them or anything silly. I like when they go different. I like when the NBA tries things. I like when they give us a new look, and that's what that is. It's a new look.
So I think it's part of what they're trying too hard to sell the NBA Cup. I mean, players have played harder in a lot of these games. I think most of this is, it's just going to take time. And so, like, I think the courts are ugly, and I think they're distracting.
The Boston court looks like they're playing on a tennis court.
Well, it's funny you were saying that.
I just saw that one. It looks like it's a tennis court.
Because it looked like an episode of The Red Wedding on the Cavs court the other night, yeah. Where it's just, it's so red. Honestly, it looked like I was watching, like, NBA Live from, like, 2004. Like, that's,
yeah.
It made some sort of weird depth thing on the TV that just didn't play. So, like, to me, I wouldn't be like, are there actually people out there like, okay, I saw the court and now I'm like 3% more in on it?
No, but I do think it is. It's there as a reminder. And then when you see it, you do, oh, it's Tuesday, Friday. They didn't think too hard on this one, clearly, but they wanted things to differentiate. They're trying. It feels like you're knocking them for trying a little bit, which is fine. I get it. The NBA Cup isn't something that people want to, like, you know, latch onto, but like, what do you want them to do? Just have the normal court, normal uniforms, make it
normal,
not special
court.
At all?
No. But it's special by virtue of you're playing for something. And I think
the Cavs know that's not enough, or the NBA knows that's not enough.
So what, a court is like the kicker?
I think it's just them trying. That's all.
But I think trying, if you like, we've already got a million think pieces on how to save the NBA Cup, which are all
way
as tedious.
Many. Way too many.
All
think
as tedious and overthinking it as anything else.
Yeah.
I said it with Danny. The Cup will be more special if you just stick to it and you don't mess around with it.
Yeah, I could see where some people would think maybe it's too gimmicky, maybe.
Yeah, but it's a new idea. We don't do cups in American sports.
No, not even the cup. I mean the court. Like, is the court just too gimmicky? Like,
yeah.
Is it too? In a way, it almost makes it seem like you're watching something that isn't the NBA because it's not the traditional.
And also, I'll say it again. It's distracting. A lot of these courts trying to watch the brown basketball the wine-colored court.
There were certain, when they first did it last year, there were problems they had with colorblind people.
Yeah.
That was a real thing. The NFL's gone through this, too. The NFL had a couple different stretches there.
With color rush, yeah.
Yeah, with the color rush jerseys, where it was, like, really bothersome for colorblind people. I think they ironed that out.
So,
I'm not sure. I don't have an update there.
Well, but I think to what you're saying, I think it's distracting in a game where, let's just make it about the game. And here's the thing with the cup. I think it's going to be like Thursday Night Football in football, where for the first decade, all anyone did was complain about the quality of football. All anybody did was complain about it was another night you're taking away from just a normal night. And now 10 years in, it's normalized. If it's a bad football game, we still watch it. Like, there are just things in sports. Sports are so much habit that you just need to make the NBA Cup habit forming. And you almost need to force it down people's throats, but do it in a way that isn't a little overbearing, which is why I think the courts might actually go against you. I think the courts might hurt you, because, like, I put up a Twitter poll at Nick Wilson Says, are you a fan of NBA Cup special court designs? And 66% of people are saying no.
I'm surprised it's not higher. I thought it was going to be like 85%
say no. You thought it was going to be like the Red Wedding
event? Well, all you ever hear is people, all you ever hear is people complain about the courts. Every time they see a court, they complain about it.
So it's interesting about
it
that.
It just doesn't bother me is all. So I just don't care about it one way or another.
But do you agree, like, if you really want to make the NBA Cup work?
I don't think there's a way to make it work. Like, I think the discussion is interesting. I don't think there's a way to make the NBA Cup work. How are you going to sell people that a less than second championship in the middle of the season is something you need to get up for?
Because you just keep having it and you keep... I think
the Lakers putting a banner up, I think, was big. I think that was massive, all things considered, because it meant the Lakers were treating it in the same way that they were treating their other championships, and then all anybody did was laugh at it.
Yeah, because that was the first year. Like, again, I think this is one of the things that trying new things in real time, the worst thing you can do is react to the initial response to it.
Oh, yeah, they can't close up shop and say we tried and that's it and
even
call it a day.
Even after 2 years, you can't pivot.
But I don't know that we can... I don't know that the regular fan is ever going to buy into the idea that a second less than championship is anywhere close to the first. And I think that's going to be the hard hurdle that they have to clear.
But I don't know we can say that when we haven't even finished Cup 2. You know what I mean?
Like, I'm just trying to find a path. I'm trying to find a path to where in my
path
brain.
Is time.
No, it's in my brain where I just think, okay, that works. And I don't know. Maybe I sound a little bit like Dan Shaughnessy here, where it's like, bring me back to 1985 basketball, where I'll always be stuck in bring me this current basketball before the cup. 25 years from now, kids will be like, we love this. This is the best thing we ever had. I just don't see how it works.
So, again, I think time is how it works. 25 years is a bit ambitious. If it's not working 10 years from now, you got to bail on it. But 10 years, a full decade, yeah. Like, when you have a young generation that's grown up on the cup, and again, I realized that was something. As it came out, I realized what it sounded like. But that's what it's going to sound. Because it's not like... The NBA Cup is not for guys like you and me who are middle-aged, who vaguely remember the 90s.
Right.
It's for my kids.
Right. Well, and it works in soccer, right? That's the idea. It works in soccer. Yeah. It just doesn't work in any of our traditional American sports.
Nobody's
we don't have this in
it.
NFL. We don't have it in baseball.
Nobody's tried it.
I mean, good for them for trying something.
This is the lesson I'm trying to learn with it. Am I really that crestfallen if the Cavs don't make the cup playoffs this year or they don't win the cup?
I don't think so. Yeah.
I think it'd be kind of cool if they did win it. It'd be a fun thing.
Yeah.
But I understand that for a lot of people who follow this NBA, we're built into, it's not an NBA championship, so it doesn't matter. Right? But I think they're trying something. Like the courts, they're trying something. Well, but it's like with Dan Shaughnessy. Dan was so incredibly down on, the Celtics don't care. They need to get punched in the mouth, whatever. And then the NBA Cup is an attempt to do something to find a way to make the first 30 games matter. And I'm not the person that's going to be converted. And I don't think you will be either.
No.
I don't think Dan will be.
You know I appreciate a good effort, though. Like, I'm not sitting there. It's better than them just sitting back, Nick, and saying, well, we're just giving up on the first 30 games.
Well, but I think 10 years from now. I think we're going to be saying, it's not working. And there's going to be a generation of kids, young kids that go, I love the cup, can't wait for it.
I hope you're right. I don't think you're going to be. I hope you're right.
Star Wars. If you grew up on the original trilogies, everything that's happened is going to be some pale imitation.
And then they gave us Jar Jar Binks. I don't even like Star Wars, but Jar Jar Binks is why I jumped off.
Yeah, well, here's the thing.
What an atrocious character that guy was.
Their kids Jax's age.
He was a ridiculous Jax, if you don't know that character.
That those Star Wars movies are the Star Wars movies.
Jar Jar Binks was the worst character in the history of TV.
Yeah,
history of movies.
So Jar Jar's the courts, but that prequel was the NBA Cup. And if you just wait long enough, and here's the thing, you really, just don't touch it. Don't do anything with it. Because if you touch it, if you give yourself permission.
Yeah, don't touch that cup, Jax.
To fiddle with the cup.
There we go. He's back.
Cup will runneth over. I just want to say that. You'll ruin it. But if you hardline and say, no, this is the cup and this is how we're going to do it, the only way you can change it at all is if you expand how many games you play in the pod. So instead of four games, it's like six games. That's the only way I think you can touch it. Everything else, try Elam endings in the championship game or, reduce it, like all that other stuff. But here's one. Okay, there's one other change you can make. You can actually make the pods the same instead of changing it every year because that will inevitably, that does confuse people.
Yeah, but they try to make it as equal as they can to go ahead and stack it the way that they want to stack it so that it's the most competitive and so that you have the best matchups. Like they definitely put their finger on the scale in that regard.
Or turn it into a TV show. You got to turn the pod seating into like a summer TV show.
Why not?
I mean, they do it with college football playoffs in the first 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks. Just simply don't
matter.
Would
you ever be open to the idea that the cup could mean like home court advantage or something like that for the playoffs or give you some actual advantage for the title that matters?
And I think you're going to start tying yourself to the end title, and then
we're already
just
tied to the end title. The NBA, well, the NBA more so than any other sport is the ring culture sport.
Yes, but I think you don't want a reminder of the eventual ring. You know what I mean? I don't know doing it the way, because I think the end goal is to try and make it its own thing. It's not going to be as big as the title, but make it as big as it can be without being as big as the title. I think if you tie it to home court advantage for the playoffs, I think inevitably you're going to sour some people because of that. It's going to be a reminder that it's not as important as that. And I think that's something you want to avoid if you're an NBA. I think they actually got that right in this go-round. 216-474-0092. Is this year successfully converting you to being a cupper like your boy, Nicky Dubs, a.k.a. the Big Dipper, a.k.a. the Big Cupper. Brian Scalabrine, NBC Sports Boston, Sirius XM NBA. We're going to go ahead and pack the car in the harbor with him next on 92.3 The Fan.